The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us find in these words, your word, that river of living water for your children who thirst. Amen. As we were making our way to the beach at Thanksgiving, I was catching up with family. Madison and I joined them a few days later. I hit and killed a possum. 42 years of driving, it never happened. But it was unavoidable. The possum was in the middle of the road. There was oncoming traffic. I thought I had it straddled, but in that moment of indecision, the possum was killed. It's a dangerous place to be in the middle of the road. Sometimes in life, we're confronted by things that cause us to make a decision. To go left or right, to go right or wrong, but to choose which side we're on and declare it. For those of you who are Tolkien fans, you'll remember in The Two Towers, there's a scene in which Merry and Pippin are appealing to Treebeard. He's an Ent. And they're appealing to Treebeard to join the cause of good in the battle for Middle Earth. And Treebeard says, "No, I don't think so. In fact, I'm not on anyone's side because I'm not sure anyone's on mine." But then he's confronted. He sees the devastation, all of his fellow trees that have been destroyed at Isengard. And he can no longer sit in the middle of the road. He chooses. And he calls the trees out of the Fangorn Forest and he says, "This may well be our last day, but the cause is worth it." He was confronted with good and evil and had to choose the good, and suddenly he was all in. Are we all in? We have another week to contemplate the birth of Christ, the nativity of God with us, Emmanuel. Are we all in? Joseph certainly was. And not without great cost to himself. Think about what the angel of the Lord appears to him over the birth of Jesus and says, "You are to do these things. You are not to be afraid to take Mary as your wife. You are to name her son Jesus. And you're to have no physical relationship with her until he is born." And Joseph complies. Without hesitation, without debate, without talk, he does all three things. And of course, this is at great cost to him. Think about what it means for Joseph to find his wife, who is a virgin, pregnant. It's a scandal. It's a scandal. And in spite of whether he still loves her and wants to forgive her, he doesn't really have any option in this situation. In those days, Mary being pregnant apart from her husband was considered a capital offense. A righteous man like Joseph had no choice but to put her away. Now, he was merciful. He said, I'm going to do it quietly. I don't want to expose her to public scorn. But he's a religious man. He's a righteous man. He's going to do the right thing. He was all in until the angel of the Lord said, no, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And he doesn't. Whatever the cost to him, whatever the public embarrassment to him, he does as the angel of the Lord says. And he further names the son Jesus when he's born. Yeshua. Jesus saves because he's going to be the Savior of the world. That too was significant. Why? Because it was a patriarchal world, and in a patriarchal world, naming a child is a woman's work. But Joseph, not having conceived Jesus, was to take him as his son, own him as his son, and name him just as the angel of the Lord instructed him. And he did it. And finally, the command is unexplained, but it's obvious in the results of the discourse that he was also told not to have a physical relationship with Mary until Jesus was born. And that Joseph did. We hear in the verse, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Three things the angel of the Lord asked of Joseph, all of which would have been difficult for a man in his position, and he did them. He was all in. He was confronted with the birth of Christ. He was confronted with the nativity of Emmanuel, God with us, and he did precisely as the angel of the Lord said. Have we been confronted by it? Have we made a decision to be all in? Joseph was. Are we? God certainly was. I mean, think about the story that we're hearing. God is becoming human in the person of Jesus Christ and entering into our world. You know, if I was God, I probably would have chosen a different path. He was in the high heavenlies. It's pretty clean and pristine up there. Yet he chose to come into our midst, into our muck, roll up his sleeves, and take on human form. And as that one song that we sing on occasion says, he gave us a sloppy, wet kiss. There's a surgeon that talks about performing a surgery on a woman who had a tumor in her face. He, in spite of his best efforts, cut a nerve removing that tumor. He had to do it, otherwise she would have died. But it took her beautiful smile and make it crooked. She would never look the same again. He was concerned about it. He wondered what her husband would do when he saw her. Wondered how he would respond to this once beautiful smile being wrecked by the surgery. His heart was warmed when the husband came in and saw his wife. He walked over to her slowly. And he curved his mouth, made his smile crooked, and leaned down to kiss her where she was. That's what God is doing for us in Jesus Christ. He's all in. He's coming into the world and kissing our crooked mouths, saving us from our sins. He's all in. Joseph's all in. God's all in the person of Jesus. Are we all in? We've got some great examples of people being all in, don't we? Even from recent history. Ever heard of a man named Luke Akins? It was just a few months ago, he jumped out of an airplane at 25,000 feet. You go, that's not all that remarkable, John. These days, people are parachuting all the time. There was that one guy that went up into space and came back down, right? That's true. And Luke Akins had done it 18,000 times himself. But this time it was different. He jumped out of that airplane at 25,000 feet without a parachute. A husband. A father. He was determined to jump 25,000 feet and land in a net that's no bigger than twice the size of this sanctuary. 100 by 100. He was going 120 miles an hour when he landed. And he loves to tell the tale. He was committed when he stepped out of that plane at 25,000 feet. He was all in. Are we all in? There's another great story. A few years ago, there was a not-for-profit corporation started called Mars One. They have the goal of colonizing the planet Mars by the year 2027. They want to send 4 people up, and then every 2 years send 4 more. There's a catch. All the tickets being sold by Mars One are one way. Even in their advertising, they said, we're looking for highly educated people who are willing to die on another planet. That's a hard role to fill, right? How many of us are going to sign up? 200,000 people made video applications for the job. 200,000 people. One-way tickets. Extreme adventure. I don't know what motivated them. Some, maybe it was just philanthropy. Maybe they just thought, well, I'm going to play some part that's great in human history. But they were willing to go to another planet and die there, never with the hope of coming back. They were all in. They're going to be all in when that rocket goes up for the very first time. Are we all in? Especially when it comes to faith, because that's what we're about, right? It's not about going to Mars. It's not about jumping out of an airplane. It's with regard to following Jesus Christ. Are we going to be confronted with the birth of Christ, the nativity of God with us, and commit as Joseph committed? We have a week to think about it. Are we there? Are we all in? Are we committed to the cause? I'd like to think that we are as a family in some small way. We moved over here 5.5 years ago with the hope of planting a church with little more than a 1.5 year salary to assure us that we wouldn't go hungry as we laid the groundwork. We were called to leave the comfort of our life in Birmingham, which we love. God said, get up and go. We got up and went. And he's calling us to move again. Even though we rely upon the giving of the church for our well-being, he's called us to end this service. To leave here in order to figure out where he would have us go. And maybe going is to stay right here, to be reconstituted in this place. We don't know. But he said, go, and then I'll tell you where you're going. Just start moving, and I'll reveal the next step. And that's where we are. But it pales in comparison, doesn't it, to some of the great names of people in the life of the church. St. Francis of Assisi, filthy rich, walked away from all of it for the cause of Christ. Became a monk, started his own order, the Franciscans, right? They could not even handle money, could not touch money. It was forbidden. They suffered under the rules of the order if they did. He knew its corrupting influence upon him, and he would have nothing to do with it. And everyone that joined that order said, no way would they touch money. Think about Tim Tebow. Does anyone doubt that he doesn't have a job in the NFL because of his faith? Because of his outward profession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ? I mean, he's a great athlete. He's even playing out of field now, right? He's playing baseball. He's doing commentary on sports. Why? Because he won't compromise. He's not going to become something else in order to play football. If he has to give up his love of that game, he will, in order to be faithful to Jesus Christ. He's all in. And at a cost. I know my Gator fan over there is pleased that I brought up Tebow. Are we all in? Are we committed in that kind of way? At a very general level, are we committed to where we are being called to nonconformity and Christ-likeness? Are we willing to reject the ways of the world and become more like Jesus? Because that's the burden that's been placed upon us, isn't it? And there's no middle of the road when it comes to being on the side of Jesus. We're either in or we're out. A pastor in Haiti tells this story one time, a parable about commitment, and he talks about a man who wanted to sell his house for $2,000. He couldn't find a buyer at $2,000, but he found one at $1,000. He said, I'll sell it to you for $1,000, provided I can keep this one nail above the front door. So the man enjoys his new home for years, but then the original owner comes back and said, I'd like to have my home back. I'd like to buy it back from you. The man says, no, I don't have any interest in selling the home. So the original owner said, okay. And he went out and he found the carcass of a dog.
What's a carcass?
A dead animal. The dying part of an animal. Like the on the side of the road. Great question. He found a carcass and he hung it on the one nail. Soon the house reeked and was uninhabitable. And the new owner said, we'll sell. If Satan has even a peg in us to hang his garbage on, he will. And make us uninhabitable for the King of Glory. It's all in. Total commitment. Are we there? That's what God is looking for in us, a total commitment to do the things that other people wouldn't do. Let's make it personal. Some of us need to find it within ourselves to forgive someone else, someone who's done us wrong, someone who has tragically hurt us, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. There are people who have done damage in our lives. But Jesus, the King of Glory, says, forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Do we have unforgiveness in our hearts? Have we given it up? Have we said, I forgive you? For some of us, it's about loving the unlovable. Are we doing that? You know, relationships are difficult. I think we all know that. Why? Because even if we're all saints, we're all depraved. Hopelessly broken. And so we're selfish. We want what we want when we want it, as I always say. How do people love us? How do we love people like us? It's never an easy task, and yet we are called to love with the same love that God loved us in Christ. Are we loving in a way that's all in, totally committed? How many of us have anger in our hearts that has seen far too many sunsets? God says in the Word, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Yet we do. We do. If we're all in, we'll let it go. This will be the last day that the sun goes down on our anger. It's a dangerous place to be in the middle of the road. We've got to go left or right. We're called to be committed. We're called to be all in. The great author C.S. Lewis said this, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. A week to go, as we anticipate the birth of Christ, it confronted Joseph. It's meant to confront us, to make a decision, to choose our path and commit to being all in. Where am I? Where are you? All in? Amen.